Who don't know me, my name is Stefan Prustovic. I'm one of the preachers at IBC. And this morning I have prepared a sermon for you. It's called God Does Remember His Mercy. In our series of multilingual readings, I will read the Bible passage in German as well today, and I still invite you to come forward to register for one of the next sermons to read in your second home, whatever language. As regards languages, I have provided some copied translations of the core of my sermon at the back, which are in German, French, and Russian. Whoever wants to read along or take something home, I say this in the other languages as well. Ich habe da hinten Kopien hingelegt, auch auf Deutsch mit der Predigtübersetzung, wer da mitlesen möchte oder was mitnehmen möchte. Ich habe auch noch einen Link geschaltet, den sehen wir gleich, wo man das auch auf seinem Gerät mitlesen kann. Wer möchte, kann das anklicken. Und wer das ins Russische übersetzen kann, kann das bitte tun, weil ich kein Russisch spreche. La même chose en français, j'ai une photocopie là-bas pour emporter. Et aussi, vous pouvez télécharger sa chose dans vos appareils. Okay, back to English. God does remember his mercy. Let's read the German part first. There it is. Heilung der Tochter der kanaanäischen Frau. Just to please Bernd, this is the Elberfelder. Und Jesus ging von dort weg und zog sich in die Gegenden von Tyros und Sidon zurück. Und siehe, eine kanaanäische Frau, die aus jenem Gebiet herkam, schrie und sprach: Erbarme dich meiner, Herr, Sohn Davids. Meine Tochter ist schlimm besessen. Er aber antwortete ihr nicht ein Wort. Und seine Jünger traten hinzu und baten ihn und sprachen: Entlass sie, denn sie schreit hinter uns her. Er aber antwortete und sprach: Ich bin nur gesandt zu den verlorenen Schafen des Hauses Israel. Sie aber kam und warf sich vor ihm nieder und sprach: Herr, hilf mir. Er antwortete und sprach: Es ist nicht schön, das Brot der Kinder zu nehmen und den Hunden hinzuwerfen. Sie aber sprach: Ja, Herr, doch es essen ja auch die Hunde von den Krumen, die von dem Tisch ihrer Herren fallen. Da antwortete Jesus und sprach zu ihr: Frau, dein Glaube ist groß, dir geschehe, wie du willst. Und ihre Tochter war geheilt von jener Stunde an. In English, the faith of the Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. According to your steadfast love, remember me. That's Psalm 26, verse 7. Remember, O Lord, remember. Does the Lord forget? It sure seems like it sometimes, doesn't it? Lord, you promised. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 7, verse 7. You promised. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, verse 14. But I've asked, I've sought, I've knocked till my knuckles were raw. Why don't you answer? Have you forgotten what you promised? Have you forgotten me? And so is the pain of suffering and waiting for the Lord. I need a job, my child is sick, I have cancer. My child is addicted to drugs and estranged from the church. I feel guilty for my sins and the feeling won't go away and I'm suffocating from anxiety. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Suffering is no fun. And suffering can be dangerous, not only to our bodies, but to our souls. In suffering, we're tempted to look away from God and his promises and to find other sources of comfort. Not even just drugs and alcohol, although Satan certainly uses those, but lies. Comforts that boost your pride, that deny God's law, his love, or his existence. But God does not permit us to suffer because he hates us. He does make us wait. He doesn't make us wait because he's cruel. God permits us to suffer in order to direct us to his word and to strengthen our faith. Paul writes, "We rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame." Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. The Canaanite woman in our text teaches us a lot about suffering, faith, and prayer. She hears about Jesus and she believes what she has heard about him. She has faith in Jesus. That is why she calls him Lord, Son of David. She believes Jesus is the Christ. She comes to Jesus begging him to help her daughter. Her daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Surely Jesus, who drove Satan away with the word of God, would gladly drive his devil out, this devil out of her daughter. O Lord, have mercy. But Jesus is silent. Still the woman persists, so that even his disciples plead for her for nothing else than to stop hearing her annoying whining. And Jesus curtly replies, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The woman is not an Israelite, she is a foreigner. Yet she persists, "Lord, help me." Is she deaf? Didn't Jesus just say he was sent only to the house of Israel? Is she an Israelite? Is she socially inept? Can she see that Jesus doesn't want her, want to help her? Well, if she hasn't figured out it yet, Jesus' next response surely will squash whatever faith she had in him. "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." My goodness, does Jesus need to humiliate her? Does he have to call her a dog? Couldn't he just tell her no? But Jesus doesn't say no, does he? The woman doesn't hear no either. And she's listening. She's been listening to Jesus the entire time, listening for a yes to her prayers. And she finds it. In an insult, she finds it. "Yes, Lord, I am a dog, so give me what is entitled to a dog. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Give me the crumbs. Save my daughter." Imagine this scenario. It's an evening during the week and prayer meeting is about to start. We had this last week on Thursday night. As people are getting something to drink, a tea or some water, a man comes in. I'm standing near the door, and this person says to me, "Sir, can I talk to you? I need some help." However, I don't respond to the man. In fact, I ignore him like he isn't even there. So the man says again, a little louder, "Sir, can I talk to you? I need some help." Now the congregation members who are already there are beginning to get a little uncomfortable. They say, "Stefan, there's a man here who wants to talk to you." But rather than going over and talking to the man, I instead say out loud, "As a member of the leadership team, I am only here to serve congregation members." Then the man comes up to me and says more urgently, "I really need to talk to you. I need some help." At this time, I say to the man, "It wouldn't be right to take what belongs to the church and give it to scum off the street." I'm pretty sure that if this happened, you would be appalled at my behavior. I certainly hope you would be. You would think that this was completely inappropriate and unacceptable behavior on my side. And yet, this is precisely what Jesus Christ does in our gospel lesson today to a Canaanite woman who is seeking help for her daughter. I would argue that this is one of the most surprising things that Jesus does in the Gospels. It seems so out of character, so unlike the Lord we know as the caring, loving, and compassionate Savior. But what we see in our Gospel lesson today is part of how God deals with us. We may not like it, but at times God hides his yes under a no. At times, we do not see a yes, except for the one he has spoken to us in his word of the gospel. But in those times, the Canaanite woman's persistent faith teaches us that we must cling to Jesus Christ as he has revealed himself in God's word. This is where our sister in Christ, the woman from Canaan, catches Jesus in his own words. And Jesus is glad to be caught. "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her little girl was relieved of the tormenting spirit. Surely, the woman's faith was great. It had been tried like silver and fire. She has proven herself a true daughter of Israel. Jacob was named Israel because he had striven with God and man and won. This woman had striven with the God-man, Jesus Christ, and she won by clinging to Christ's word. And so this Syrophoenician woman teaches us about faith. Faith clings to God's word. It clings to his promise, even if it has to wait. Even if it seems to be rejected, even if God himself seems to be rejecting it, faith listens intently to God's word and clings to God's promise. And so you too must be an Israel. You too must strive with God and cling to God's promise, like Jacob clung to the Lord in the dust with a dislocated hip through the night until morning. Do not let go until you receive the blessing God has promised to you. God may say, "But you're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. Didn't I call you to holiness, not to impurity? Yet you covet what isn't yours. You cheat your neighbor. You lust after indecency. What should I answer, and why should I answer your prayer?" You could despair at this and conclude that God hates you. You could get offended and say, "How dare you call me a sinner and threaten me with hell?" You could hold on to your pride for dear life. Or, like the Canaanite woman, you can listen to God's word and find your promise there. "You call me a sinner? Why, yes, I am a sinner. I cannot deny it, no matter how much I wish I were a holy Israelite. So give me what you promised, sinners. You said, 'I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners,' Matthew 9, verse 13. Scripture says that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's in First Book of John, verse 2, section 2, verse 2. You caused the psalmist to write, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, in Psalm 32, verse 5. So God, accept every word you say. I accept every word you say. I am a sinner, so treat me like a sinner. Forgive me and answer my prayer. This is how we must pray. In our suffering, we will worry that God won't give us what we need because we are so unworthy. Our sins will accuse us, and so we think that God will let us go to ruin. But faith acknowledges that you don't deserve anything from God, but you receive it all by grace as a gift. Faith doesn't cling to your pride. It doesn't cling to what you deserve. It doesn't cling to your suffering. Faith clings to God's word and promise. It searches God's word for assurance. This is why we pray that God would remember us and have mercy on us. Not because God might forget, not because God doesn't intend to have mercy on us, but for the sake of our faith, we must always pray according to God's word and promise. God does remember you. He will have mercy on you. And your sins will not be a hindrance to his mercy because he washes them away in Jesus' blood. A great mistake people make when praying, especially when they are suffering, is to pray without God's word. Prayer without God's word isn't prayer. It's brooding. It's complaining. It's self-pity. Prayer without God's word leads to false belief and despair. So we must learn from this true sheep of the house of Israel, this Gentile who sits at the Lord's table. She listened intently to God's word, and she prayed accordingly. So when you pray, first listen to God's word. Read it. Ponder it. Pray it. Pray the Lord's Prayer because you know God promises to answer it. Pray the Psalms and listen to God's word for the answer to your prayers. Through God's word, you will learn to accept the hardship God permits you to suffer and to realize when he is answering you with a big yes. God remembers you. He remembers the mercy and steadfast love he promised you. But your faith must remember it. It remembers by listening to God's word. And when you pray according to God's word, Jesus will say to you, great is your faith. Let it be as you have desired. Let us pray. O Lord, remembering all your goodness and praying the promises of your word, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to your merciful care. Through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. I ask the praise team forward for the last song. Once we're done, please come downstairs, have tea and coffee with us, and some fellowship. Also, the offering box is here to my left. We already mentioned earlier that this is meant to be for Syria today, for the difficult situation in the north of Syria. So please come and give what you want.